when God is a part of it. And love of any form degenerates into a controlling, possessive lust when God is not a part of it. But let me draw our attention to the real point of these verses, which is found at the very tip of verse 21. Because this is Jude's command, and in the original language, this is the center word of the entire section we've just heard. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Not in lust, in love. In our simple English ear, that sounds like a matter of just being in the place where God loves us. But that's such an oversimplification of what this command is saying. The command is not an individual command, so let's take off our Western individualistic way of thinking to start with. This is a command directed toward a group of people. This letter was not addressed to an individual. It was addressed to a congregation, maybe like ours. Jude says, keep love there in the midst of your gathered assemblies. They should be a loving expression. I think it's beautiful when we have the time of greeting and we have to sing Make Us One 1,000 times to get you to sit down again, because you're expressing your goodwill and your gladness to see one another. That's a very good thing. It's a first level of love, but indeed it is an expression of it. Keep yourselves in the love of God. What does that mean? Does that mean I just have my personal faith and I feel the Holy Spirit warming my heart and that's love? No, again, this is about how the Spirit is here. As we sung earlier this morning, it's about the love that's expressed and the lift that I feel because I'm with the family in which God is forming me. Not just my own family. I also think it's fascinating how some of you are very careful to sit only with your own family members or only with your own people group. And I would say to you that this passage is directed against that. Sit with someone who's not in either one of those groups and grow to love closer to them, because that's what the command is about. Learn to love and integrate and flow love between you in ways that are not familial or cultural. Let love be strongly welling up in you each time you gather, because as you do, you will be moving in the direction that God has for you. But what does it mean to keep ourselves in love? Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And even though a Pharisee asks Jesus, what must I do to enter the kingdom of God? And he knows the answer is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He has yet to learn how to apply that. And Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan is an exact expression of this idea. Those Samaritans that you hate because they're half-breeds and they don't worship right and they don't even have the same Bible as you, those are the people that you should pick up off the side of the road. That's how my love works. Jesus tells him, go and do the same. Jesus, your whole command about staying in the love of God just got 12 times more difficult for me. Maybe it's not as easy as simply knowing the word and quoting it. Maybe the love of God has everything to do with how we pour out the love of God to people we have no connection with whatsoever. How do I do that? I mean, how can I do that in a healthy way that isn't freaky and drives people away? I mean, I know people who don't have healthy boundaries in relationships and they want to be loving and it's just weird. Oh, there's three ways, because all the other words before this word and after this word in verse 21 are the expression of how to love rightly. Verse 20 should actually be translated to say, you will love by doing these things, by building up your corporate faith identity. That would be the accurate way to translate verse 20. You remain in my love as you build up others who are around you. I remember from the church of my childhood how difficult Doris could be. Doris always had a word about someone else and what they were doing right and what they weren't doing right and how they ought to get in the right space. Doris loved deeply her church, and she wanted it to be strong and healthy, and I don't doubt her motive for a moment. But it was very easy for Doris's love to degenerate into manipulative, gossiping, controlling of other people. Not building up another person by blessing them and noticing them and expressing kindness for them when they did all the right things. Or when she saw in them potential to do something better that she saw giftings toward. The question that comes out of this building up work, as Paul will write in Ephesians, we are building together into a beautiful house. We are meant to build in relationship with each other in a way that creates higher, beautiful, more impressive structure of community. And no matter how excellent our building is, and I'm so grateful that we have such a beautiful space, and when I say it's right across the Pacific Mall, people say, oh yeah, oh that red building, that's a cool building. Yeah, but it's what's inside the building that's more important than what's outside the building. It's the people who are loving each other in ways that cross cultural boundaries and cross generational boundaries and cross even interest boundaries. That's the real beauty of the structure. You need to come to see that internally. One of the three ways that we love God properly is building up our own community. And it begs the question for me and for you, as I look around the room at all the people in this room, can I honestly say that I love many of them more now than I did a year ago? Will I love these people more a year from now than I do right now? Jude is very determined that we hear this. That it's time to get about doing things that express love for the people in this room and the people who aren't here today but are normally part of our community. Will you call the person who is absent today? Will you write a note to someone or send them a text? Will you take them out? Will you give them a gift? Will you pray for them every day this week? Will I? Am I really about building up? Or am I just about maintaining my brick in the wall so that everyone knows I belong? The next thing that Jude says we do is pray in the Holy Spirit. We keep ourselves in the love of God by praying in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always moving. Jesus tells Nicodemus, you don't know where he is, but you can see by the effects where he's moving to. And you need to be born of the Spirit, Nicodemus, so that you find yourself thinking about, praying about, moving into places that you would not otherwise because they're not part of your routine. I think that's really why we do this board. And I'm reminded And I'm reminded, how often do I really remember that name? Or did I just post it up here so that God could see it and I don't need to think about it anymore? I heard someone say that people write things down so they don't have to remember them. Ouch. The Spirit wants to constantly bring to our minds who we're praying for, who we're looking for, who we're thinking about, who we're trying to create new ways to express loving kindness toward. Am I doing that? Are you doing that? Or do we just put them up on a board for Jesus to take care of? But that's hard, Pastor George. That is emotionally taxing. I don't know if I have the strength for that. But the Spirit adds strength to those who pour it out. And you can never outgive God. The more you pour out, the more He pours in. He wants to widen the channel in you. Like those wonderful garden hoses that when you put water in them, they expand. And more can flow through them. I've never bought one. Maybe you have. I've heard some people say they're kind of junk. But the concept is true, that God the Holy Spirit wants to pour through us continuously every day, and we find ourselves praying for people. This last week, I found myself praying for a parishioner I haven't called in too long. And I even said to him this morning, I was praying for you this week. I meant to call you this week, but I didn't. But I was praying for you. And he smiled, and he said, thank you. Who are you praying for? Who are you reaching out to? Who are you loving? Who are you following the Spirit's call to pray for? To pray in the Spirit, He'll give you insight what to say. Oh, it can start as, God help them. Whatever they're feeling today, whatever they're going through today, whatever troubles they face today. And the Holy Spirit starts to move. Yeah, that's a second way. Who will you find yourself praying for this week? And the third thing that is a sign that we're remaining in the love of God is that we're eagerly anticipating the mercy of our Lord Jesus at His return. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people who need a lot of mercy, and I don't have much to give. And I long for the Lord to show mercy on them in spite of their ugliness, in spite of their attitude. I need God to have mercy on me in spite of my ugliness, in spite of my attitude, because it's real. And when I'm hungry or tired, it shows up. I'm just not my best spiritual self. How about you? Eagerly anticipating. I was captivated today to watch this past week, to watch our whole city just obsessing about Kawhi Leonard. Oh, what's he going to do? Oh, what's he going to do? Oh, we need him to stay. We were all eagerly anticipating that he would stay. Oh, but like every human idol which we eagerly anticipate, it crumbles. I'm not saying anything against Kawhi Leonard, but I am saying, isn't it fascinating how quickly we put our hopes in that there'll be mercy on our city and we'll get the best things so that we can continue to ride high? And Jude is saying to the believers, stop relying on how wonderful your leaders are, how beautiful your church is, how everything seems to be in the right place and you're winning, winning, winning. Eagerly long for the mercy of Jesus to be poured out in people's lives. For His returning to them, maybe to them personally, and of definitely for Him coming for all of us. That's the compass toward which we're pointed. That's our North Star. That's where this ship is sailing, regardless of what the tides may be doing right now. Am I eagerly anticipating God's mercy? Or have I become so cynical? I don't believe anything good's ever going to happen here anymore. The Reverend Jesse Jackson is known for saying, keep hope alive. Mr. Jackson may hope in many things. I can't speak for him. But Jude is saying, keep hope in Jesus' mercy and his return alive, because that will fire up your engine and never fail you. Because he's pouring out his mercy every day in response to those who are loving well, those who are praying in the Spirit, and those who are eagerly anticipating. God will come. That's all there is. Really, Jude, after 16 verses of look out for these people, they're like this, they're like this, they're like this, they're like this, they're like this. The only thing you've got for us on an application side is keeping ourselves in the love of God. Yeah, but that is one loaded term. It doesn't mean just feeling happy in my personal faith. It never meant that. But in our lives, we let it degenerate into that, and really when we do, it's no longer the love of God. It's just a personal lust for what gives us comfort. One of my former pastors decided, he was such a good model for me and as a very young man. But after I left that church and had moved on to my next role and assignment that took me out of that city, I heard that he had left ministry and his wife and sons to do something else with his career because he really felt the Lord was leading him that way. And I remember thinking, that's not love. That's not this kind of love. And I grieved. And I found myself praying for him. And although I never, ever talked to him from that time forward, I found the Spirit leading me to pray for him, to think of him, to remember him whenever I was reminded of that time and that place in my life. And whenever something that sounded or looked like him presented itself to me. Remaining in the love of God means that love never fails. It is faithful to continue living for those whom it's been entrusted to. And I pray for the mercy of God in his life, that he will see how he has violated a covenant he made before the living God to a woman and to children who were the fruit of that marriage, that he will return to the service to which he was called and not to the one that he allowed himself to lust after. And I find that no matter what our station or no matter how long we've walked with the Lord, it is so easy to be in the church but not be building in the love that is of God. Our musicians are coming and we'll sing a Wesley hymn of our intention, but let's pray as they come. Father, you have demonstrated to us what true love is. You have sent your Son who emptied himself for love, and who sent your Spirit that we may not just be beneficiaries of love, but that we may indeed remain in your love in ways that build, in ways that pray, in ways that call out for mercy. And in this moment, you've brought to our